Welcome back to another episode of Explore Messiah with Sadaka Ministries. As we always say, please know that this will be the one place where you can always ask the tough questions about God, Messiah, and the spiritual issues of life. We might not always know the answer, but we'll explore it together until we discover the truth. Last week, there was a commercial by Gillette that drew a whole lot of attack and response from both the left and the right. I saw it a couple of times. I'm sure you did too, about the best a man can get versus the best a man can be. And I thought we'd share it and we'd talk about it. Because was this commercial an attack on masculinity? Was it talking about men? Was it a real issue? And I thought it was worth a conversation, especially on a spiritual level. But before we go there, I want to begin this episode with some thoughts about my dad, Jack Henry Downey, who was the most masculine man I have ever known. All 5'10", 190-pound, bald, bespeckled guy that he was. He was manly, but not macho. He was the head of the home, but he wasn't a tyrant. He was unafraid to cry when others hurt, but he was ready to defend them to the death physically if needed. This was my dad. In fact, I'm going to share with you a story that might embarrass my mom and another one that might embarrass my dad, but they need to be told to make the point that I want to share with you today. The first one, I was in the sixth grade when my mom thought she found a suspicious mole or a lump on her breast. She was afraid, and so she told my dad. I walked into the kitchen just as my dad was checking the mole, and he was holding my mom's breast in his hand. And I don't know how to describe it to you. You would have had to have been there. And that's why my mom would be embarrassed. But even at the age of 12, I witnessed one of the most gentle acts of compassion in my life in that moment. There was nothing sexual in the action, but what was present was a love of a man who loved his wife more than he loved his own life. I walked out of that kitchen and I went straight to my bedroom and I cried. But it wasn't tears of fear. It was a different kind of tear. Because I knew everything would be okay, even if mom had cancer. Thankfully, she didn't. But I knew everything would be okay because my dad was a man and he would take care of everything. The other story is from when my parents were dorm supervisors at Buckner Children's Home in Dallas in the mid-1980s. Mom and Dad were in charge of about 20 teenage girls, and I was 15 at the time. These girls had been abused, molested, forgotten by their own parents. And for many of them, my parents were the only real parents they had ever had in their lives. Well, one night, a man broke into the dorm and broke specifically into our apartment. He was trying to attack my sister, and my parents were able to subdue him until the police arrived and arrested him. However, most of those girls saw my dad have to drag the attacker back into the apartment, and my dad had been in bed, and so he was wearing only his underwear. Now, most people would have thought nothing of such a moment, but not Jack Downey, because he knew what these young women had been through in their lives. The next day, he called a dorm meeting, and he went through dorm protocol of locking the doors, checking the doors, making sure the alarm's on. But then he explained to them and apologized to them that they had to see him in his underwear. He wanted these young women to know that men could be godly, and men could and should put their needs first. He wanted them to know that he cared about them as a dad, even though they didn't share DNA. Incidentally, these teenage girls, most of them, all of them, are now middle-aged women. And when I encounter them on Facebook, they tell me that Jack Downey was their first real dad. And he was the first good man in their lives. And when I have to tell them that Daddy is gone and he passed away in 2000, they grieve like a daughter who lost a dad. So why do I share these stories with you? What was the point? Well, that back to the Gillette commercial. That was controversial. The best a man can get, the best a man can be. Well, it was controversial, but incidentally, it had a likability rating of 79.6%. Well, along with that commercial, there is a report by the American Psychological Association, the APA, on advice on how a psychologist should advise, counsel, men and boys. And I have some issues with the report, especially from a religious standpoint. However, However, there is truth that males are usually the last to get counseling when they need counseling. And the fifth guideline of this report was interesting and unexpected, because this is, quote, the fifth guideline of this report, quote, psychologists strive to encourage positive father involvement and healthy family relationships, close quote. I don't disagree with that statement, do you? But this still doesn't answer the question that we need to answer. Is masculinity toxic to the world environment? Humanly, I don't think so. Have we overreacted to the Me Too movement and simply attacking all men for no real reason? Humanly, my opinion, yes and no. Is there a future for masculine men in this world today? Again, as a single female, I certainly hope so. Tough questions. They are. And this podcast, we've never tried to give you simple answers to tough questions, and we won't start now. We're going to go to the Bible and spiritual answers, and not just be histrionic, because that's the easy road in this world today. If you don't believe me, just watch the news. So what do I mean by a spiritual lens? Scripture defines how and what a man should look like, not just in a family relationship, but also in the world. And that is intrinsically important today. And that's why I gave you two examples from my dad's life. He wasn't perfect. And I could give you a list of a few of his flaws. But he exemplified what I believe we need to consider as we seek to answer these questions. Because you see, the family was the first interpersonal relationship that God established. He was the first matchmaker. He was the first yenta, to borrow a Yiddish word. He developed a family between Adam and Eve. And yes, Adam was created first, but we should not see that as a place of prominence or preeminence, but just Adam was created first. Eve was created from Adam. And the words that we find in Genesis 2:23 are actually quite beautiful. And I'm going to quote those to you. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of that man." Adam was saying that Eve was a part of him. And the next verse in Genesis tells us that marriage is the reuniting of what was established in the garden when the two fleshes become one. This is why we should loathe divorce. And I know sometimes divorce is inevitable, but we should still loathe it. Because divorce tears apart the spiritual and emotional and psychological flesh. Ask anyone who's been divorced. They'll tell you. There is no sense of hierarchy in the garden or between Adam and Eve. And any sense of Adam first, Eve second, that never came until after the fall. In fact, the biblical commentator Matthew Henry utilized this theme of equality when he wrote a poem about Adam and Eve. And this poem has been used in tons of marriage ceremonies. My dad used it when he married people since the 1800s. The woman was made of a rib. This is Matthew Henry. The woman was made out of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved. This is why when my mom thought she had cancer, that my dad displayed so much love and so much compassion. They had a relationship that was in all sense and purposes one flesh. My dad ached when my mom hurt. My mom to this day often walks around like half of her is missing since daddy died, because half of her is missing. My dad was the head of the home, for lack of a better term, but they were equal in good and bad times and in all the times in between. They lived out, even though no marriage, and their marriage wasn't either perfect, the words from Song of Solomon, in which it is said, "I am my beloved, and he is mine." And when families are built on this premise, there is no toxic masculinity, toxic femininity, and or toxic issues that, and this is key, and or toxic issues that cannot be overcome. The only question we have today is, are there many family relationships like this anymore? When the two-parent family is an oxymoron and not the norm. Perhaps it is not toxic masculinity or toxic femininity, but a toxic environment which has destroyed the family and is destroying our world. Therefore, another passage from Scripture that I want to mention is Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. And a lot of times, and I'm going to have to read it in its entirety, and it's a long passage, but you need the context. A lot of times people cherry pick verses out of this section, and in doing so, they take this section out of context. So let's read the whole thing. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Most people want to stop right there and then do a lot of bad things with it. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I'm fine with that, but we'll explain it. They don't want to go to these next verses a lot of times, but we need to. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord his church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverences her husband. And I read that whole section in context, because way too often many people want to stop and cherry pick verses and then focus on wives submit to your husbands, and then proceed to develop a toxic, pardon the pun, relationship over it. However, the whole context of this passage is about mutual submission. Husbands loving their wives in the example of how Jesus loves us, which will result in the wives wanting to respect, reverence their husbands. But first, the husbands are to love their wives. What Paul was trying to show in this and other passages that he wrote is that male and female relationships work when the male loves the woman and puts her first. This is his act of submission, because it's not in the male DNA to put anybody else but himself first. And guys, that's true. Respect, reverence is the woman's act of submission, because women, let's be honest to the guys, it's not in our DNA to respect or reverence anybody. I'm a woman. We're not good at that at all. My dad, again, once said in a sermon that a marriage can never be 50-50. But must always be, you give 100, you give 100, if it is going to work. Both the husband and the wife must submit their natural inclination for the betterment of the other person. Does that sound toxic to you on either a male or female level? Or have we uncovered the real issue? In today's toxic environment, no one wants to put the other person first anymore. Perhaps if we return to Scripture, a simple commercial about razors might not be so shocking and controversial. What's your opinion? You think I'm right? Do you think I'm wrong? Do you think I'm just a dumb woman? If you want one, have one, if you want to share it, tell us at info@zadokaministries.org, and we'll post some of your opinions on our next podcast. If you have a question that might be a great idea for another episode, email us at info@zadokaministries.org, and we'll try to do that as well. Because we've reached another end of another episode of Explore Messiah with Sadaka Ministries. And I want you to know, as always, this will be the one place where you can always ask the tough questions about God, Messiah, and the spiritual issues of life. We might not always know the answer, but we will explore it together until we discover the truth. Shalom. God bless. And try to be nice to each other.